Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Before I introduce my guest today, a reminder to check out our webpage, WJBMradio.com. You can stream the station to your phone or any smart device through MyTuner or Riverbender and even Alexa. Additionally, our past Spotlight shows are always available to just go to Listen on Demand. And now for my guests this morning. All my friends are old. I guess I'm getting old. I don't know. But I have a good friend. We go way back, what, 30 years ago, maybe?
At least.
No, 30. Longer than that. Oh, yeah. 40 years ago. 40 years ago.
You are getting old.
Jack Holmes. Welcome, Jack. How are you today?
Thank you very much. I'm doing fine. People ask me how I'm doing, and I just say, I'm still here.
You're still kicking.
I'm still kicking, yeah.
And now I know people, I'm sure most of the listeners know who Jack Holmes is, but you were an educator, you were a referee, you did all kinds of things. But first of all, before we get to all that, you didn't grow up here, though. Where'd you grow up?
Well, I was born in Carbondale, Pennsylvania.
Carbondale? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Carbondale, Pennsylvania, and my dad owned the newspaper there, and my mother... My mother's mother, my grandma from Wisconsin, was suddenly stricken with cancer, and my mother was really itching to get back in the Midwest. And so my dad started looking for newspapers in the Midwest, and he found one in Villa Grove.
I'll be darned.
And he bought that paper in 1948, and so I must have been about two or three when we moved to Villa Grove. And then I lived there, and in fact, one of my brothers still lives there because he took over the newspaper when my dad died, and I went to the University of Illinois, and after I graduated from there, I went in the Navy. It was during the Vietnam War, and I had a...
What year was that?
Well, that was 1968. I actually went on active duty. I was in a Navy Reserve, a six-year duty, but I had to go 2 years on active duty, and back then, they had draft numbers. I don't know if you ever knew that. I had the lucky number 19, so I knew I was going to be drafted. And I was fortunate enough to get into the Naval Reserve in Urbana, Illinois. And then I did my one-year meetings during my last year at Illinois. And then I went on 2 years of active duty and then four more years of meetings. And so during that time, I lived in San Diego for a year and a half. And then when I got out, I was married by that time. And I lived in Madison, Illinois for a year, and then I lived in Washington, D.C., where I went to graduate school. And then I came back out and couldn't get a job because it was August and all the teachers were already hired and everything.
Yeah.
So I substitute taught every single day during the year of 1971-72 in Madison and St. Clair County. Every day. Every single day. And a lot of times I'd get two or three calls. So I lived there that year, and then I got a job. Got a job in Arthur, Illinois.
Oh, yeah. And that was back, Amish country.
Yeah, Amish country. And it was back in my, that was the same conference I grew up in, because in Villa Grove we were in the Yaukaw Valley, and we had, Tuscola, Arcola.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was in Arthur for 2 years, and we didn't like Arthur. We just wanted to move. We just wanted to be closer to a metropolitan area and so forth. And we were very, very fortunate to find this job in Jerseyville. And I moved here on August 1st, 1974, and that'll be 50 years this coming August 1st.
1974. Now, of course, you are married. Tell us a little bit about that, how that happened.
Okay, well, I met my wife. God put us together. I'll tell you, just that's all I can say about it. I grew up in Villa Grove and always wanted to go to the University of Illinois, and I knew I was going to go there.
Okay.
My wife grew up in Madison, and she was a sophomore when Don Freeman was a senior, and he was probably still one of the greatest basketball players. In fact, if you ask any of the old-timers in Jerseyville, just ask them a question someday. Who's the best basketball player you ever saw play in this gymnasium up here? And they don't even hesitate. They go, "Oh, that'd be Don Freeman."
Now, didn't he referee too?
No, Don Freeman. No. He was a great basketball player. So he went to Illinois and
played basketball.
And he was during that era when you weren't eligible to play as a freshman.
Okay.
So he played 3 years and he was the all-time leading scorer per game.
Wow.
And that lasted until, I think, just a year or two ago. Okay, so anyway, she went to, she said all my friends, they were going to go to college, they knew what they wanted to be, and she said, I had no idea what I wanted to be. She said, But I realized I wanted to go to Illinois to see Don Freeman play basketball. They were good friends.
My goodness.
It's just crazy. And we met in a class.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and then so I graduated a year ahead of her, and I had to go on active duty. She finished her last year. I came home during her last year and asked her to marry me.
All right.
And we actually dated each other for 2 years before I got married. But that's how it happened. And then we went out there, and she gets mad when I tell everybody this, but I said we went on a 8-month honeymoon because we got married in June and went to San Diego and lived in an apartment while I worked at 32nd Street Naval Station. And literally that was like a honeymoon.
Oh, yeah, living in San Diego.
Until I got out the next May. So.
And you had some children?
Just six.
Just six?
Yeah, just six.
I didn't realize you had that many.
Yeah, well, that's my son, John. He's the oldest, and he lives in Portland, Oregon, and has for, I don't know, 35 years or more. And then there's Oliver, my second son, and Angeline, my first daughter, and I've had four daughters. Then Maggie and Julia and Caroline. Yeah, they're all keepers.
Now, you came to here in 1974.
Yes.
Right? And what? Did you come as a teacher? Or?
Yeah, I interviewed for yeah, I interviewed. I had a friend that was a fraternity brother of mine, and at the University of Illinois, and we had done our student teaching together at New Trier, and we always agreed that we would kind of look after each other, you know, when we were looking for jobs and so forth. Well, he didn't have to serve in the service, you know, he was married right out of college and had a deferment, and anyway, he called me one day when I was sitting there in Arthur, and he said, hey, there's an opening over here in Jerseyville. I want you to come over here and apply for that PE job out at Illini Junior High School and be my assistant basketball coach at the high school.
I'll be darned.
And his name was Dennis White.
Okay.
And so I came over and interviewed with Don Workins. And
got the job.
I got the job, but I didn't get to do this basketball coaching, and I think that was a real blessing because I developed my own life there at Illini. I coached football for 30 years there. And
okay. Yeah, 30 years football
yeah,
coach.
I coached 30 years there. I was a teacher there, and then I was the principal for the last 15 of those 30 years, and I still coached football that time.
Yes.
That's how I got here.
Did you enjoy teaching more than being an administrator or what? Or were they the same?
You know, every time I would interview or ask a question of an administrator, what did you enjoy more, teaching or being an administrator? And just almost every one of them would say, oh, I enjoyed teaching more. But I liked teaching. I really did. But I loved being an administrator. Loved it. I liked it so much more.
What did you like about it?
I don't know. Just I felt like I learned a lot about what belonged in education when I was taking my classes in fact, I ended up with a superintendency endorsement. But I thought, you know, and my wife would always – so here's what my wife would say. She said, you know, I remember one time you had these little pamphlets that you'd get in the mail, and they were about how good being a good teacher and so forth, and you'd read them, and you'd take them to school and try to pass them out, you know, make copies and pass them out, and teachers would throw them in the wastebasket. She said, Jack, you really took it serious. And I said, well, yeah. I said, this is an important thing we do in education. And I just loved it. And
Being a teacher, do you find yourself teaching teachers how to give them kind of like coaching them?
Oh, there's no doubt. That is it. That's the essence. And I think some people didn't take that very well.
Okay.
But then, see, we had some teachers that, you know, went to college, got their degree, and they felt that was the end of it. You know, I know how to teach now, and I'll go teach. And I kept trying to encourage, because you should always be encouraged to go take take another class or maybe go to a conference. I felt good about it. I just felt like I was helping the profession.
Yes.
I took it serious and loved it and tried to smile all the time. In fact, I think there were times when I'd get a little negative feedback because I'd stand out there and say good morning to kids and smile and tell them I hope to have a good day.
Now, somewhere along the line, and this is where we met, you got into refereeing. And it had to be
Here's what happened.
In the 80s.
Yeah, Phil Mann, who was a longtime outstanding basketball official, and he was a football official too. I never did referee football. But he got me started, and I remember that first year I would borrow a referee shirt, and I had tennis shoes on, and he kept saying, why don't you buy a shirt?
Now, were you teaching then, or were you?
Oh, yeah. See, I came here in 74, And so it would have been either that first year I was here or the second at the latest. In fact, I remember Bob Swearingen called me one day and asked me if I'd go down to North Junior High School and referee a ball game. He was coaching at Holy Ghost. That's back when there was Holy Ghost and St. Francis.
Okay.
And I agreed to do it. I got on the bus. I said, if you'll take me down on the bus. And so I rode that bus down to North.
Well, that sounded a little bit different. You walked in with the team.
And I remember going in there and reffing that ball game. And the coaches were fine. Nobody said anything. And I remember going out in the hallway after the game, and the coach for North came out there, and he reached in his pocket and pulled out $12 and handed it to me. And so that was the start. And then I started refereeing the little kids, you know, fifth and sixth grade in the county, because we had basketball teams back in those days. And then the rest is history. He got me in a lot of places, you know, and of course,
being a referee, you know, from the outside looking in, it looks like it's, you know, tough. What's fun about being a referee? I mean, you get yelled at. You can't make a good call. Yeah. Half the team is it, or half the fans are against you. What's the mindset? Tell me a little bit about
that. Well, you just said it. It's understanding that is the mindset of the fans. And I have to tell people, they said, boy, how could you stand all that screaming and yelling? I said, well, you got to understand. You go down the floor this way, the fans on your, you know, on this side of the gym are yelling at you. And then when you go up the other end, the other fans on the other side are yelling at you. And they start laughing. I said, but the great thing that happens as a referee is the tremendous relationships you build. And at one time, I was kind of like a little commissioner here in town. We had 8 Jerseyville-based referees. I can remember them all. There's Jack Holmes, Phil Mann, Kenny Shell, Kenny Church, Greg Burton, Dave Collins, Steve Ficker, and Scott Posey.
Wow. They were all good.
They were, and most of them did the state tournament. But anyway, so I have, just like sitting here with you, I consider you a good friend, and you were a coach.
Yes.
And I have a lot of old coaches that I used to referee for that just became lifelong friends.
Yeah.
And the referees for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the fans.
and I can remember, I always kid you about this. It's a funny story.
I know.
But you know what? It's good. I deserved it. I deserved it. But at that time, I think it was my second year coaching at Calhoun.
Oh, really? Was that? Oh, okay.
Second year at Calhoun.
And you had a good
head
team.
Basketball.
You had a good team.
We had a good team.
Oh, man.
And we were playing Pleasant Hill.
At Pleasant Hill.
At Pleasant Hill.
Harry Waggy.
Yeah, Harry Waggy, great guy. And they had a new rule that year.
Yeah.
The new rule was
you had to
coaches had to stay on the bench.
They
could not stand up or walk the sideline or anything like that. They had to stay on the bench.
You could do it for two things.
Yeah.
You could stand up to ask for a timeout, and you could stand up and walk down and get a sub and come right back and sit down.
Yeah. See, you know what my problem was?
Yeah, I know.
I never paid much attention to the rules.
And that's what I told you one time. I said
it was the third game. The third game of the season. Yeah, I learned really quick. That was a rule that they made. I think it just lasted that year. I think.
Well, what happened was it led to some adjustments in the rule. First of all, it was got to stay seated, and we were told at the rules meeting that year that if we expected to get a regional, you know, because the regionals are all signed by the state, you won't get a regional if you don't apply that rule.
Right.
So
yeah, I understand,
and that's why we reffed. We wanted to do regionals.
Sure.
So then it expanded to you could stand up, but you had to stay in a box.
Yeah.
A 6-foot box.
Yeah.
And if you got out of that box, then you're going to get whacked.
Yeah. Yeah. I just remember at that game, I popped up and was yelling. I was used to that.
Yeah,
you know, yelling, just instructing, not yelling at you per se.
But I was able to refine my the way I handled it later on. And the way I handled it later on was...
Well, first of all, I get up, and you go, Chris, technical. And I go, gave me a technical.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm going, what? I thought we were friends.
Yeah.
And then you go, now, Chris, you can't get it. You can't get up again. You get up again, I give you another T, you're out of the game.
No, it took 3 to get out of the game.
Oh, 3. That's why. So I got 2.
See, you tell the story now that I kicked you out of the game. I didn't kick you out of the game.
No, I don't
really
tell
too.
You. I didn't try to kick you out of the game. But... I got 2 technicals.
Yeah.
And then I was going, I get another one, I'm out of the game, Jack. And he goes, you better stay sitting down.
Well, here's how I refined it. I'd walk up to the coach and say,
I know. You know why you refined it? Because I called you the next morning. Remember that?
Yeah.
at about 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I remember.
I called you, and then we discussed it, and I go, well, Jack, you know, you explained the rules better to me, and like I didn't pay attention. And then I'm going, okay, how come you didn't ask me for a timeout?
That's how I refined it. Yeah. I'd say, Coach, you want a timeout? They go, what? I said, well, it's either a technical or timeout. And they'd say, okay, give me a timeout.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, that was fun.
Yeah.
And it's and you know, like you were saying about relationships.
Yeah.
And that's relationship building with coaches and other referees, and it's a lot of fun. Well, I got to ask you one question, because I've got a friend of yours that you used to referee with.
I never refereed with him. I got assigned to a regional one time with him.
Oh.
So we never really did ref together. I just knew him because he'd go to the meetings, you know, and
Bob, Bob Paulus.
Bob Paulus.
Paulus.
Yeah, Bob Paulus. Bobby Paulus from Granite City. Yeah, he, yeah, Bobby. Hi, Bob. And my wife knew him because he played in a band when he was in, I guess, high school with her, with my wife's nephew, Ricky Vaughn. And I never did hear the band, but apparently they had a band and it was pretty good, you know, and some of them played guitar and some played the drums, and I don't even know which instruments they each played, but they had a band and it was called the Legends.
Oh yeah. Well, we got that done.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, after you retire, you know, you work all those years at Jersey and then you retire, and then you retire, but then you don't retire. What happened?
Well, I was ready to retire, and I've got to admit, and I think people know this, that the Illinois retirement system is a really, really good situation. And financially, you really should retire when you're supposed to retire, because if you don't, you're still working for money, but it'd be, you know, when you retire, you get pretty good money that.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't ready to retire, so I got my certification in Missouri, and I was applying over there at the public schools, because you can do that and still be in the retirement system here. You just can't work in public schools in Illinois anymore if you've retired. So I got this job at St. John Newman Elementary Catholic School in Maryville, Illinois. And I became the principal there, and I stayed 11 years.
I'll be darned.
And it just went like that. And I just, you know, and it was a real blessing. It was a great atmosphere, a chance to work in, as a Catholic, you know, to work in a Catholic school, and I just really enjoyed it. And,
it was a bit of a drive. What, an hour?
Yeah, it was. But you know, that I had never had to drive. I'd literally roll out of bed and crawl over to Illini for.
Yeah, you were in the neighborhood.
For 30 years. Sometimes, but anyway, yeah, it was, and I was still refereeing at the time, at least during the first 4 or 5 years. So I always had my referee gear with me, you know, and sometimes I'd have a game that night.
Okay.
Maybe over at Collinsville or Triad.
Now, how old were you then?
Well, I was 58 when I retired from.
Oh, you were a young man then.
Years ago. I felt young. Well, yeah. I feel young today. What the heck?
Yeah. So you worked at Newman.
Yeah.
And then. Then what?
After well, then, done? Then I retired in the spring of 2015, and I went home and I started playing golf just about every day.
Okay.
And this is now late August, and school has started, and I'm reading the paper one morning, drinking my coffee, getting ready to go play golf, and I read this story about how this athletic director at Marquette had just left. I mean, just literally left that the day before, and she wanted to get this job in the public school, and she finally got one in at Triad. Didn't give it any thought, went out and played golf, and then the next day I'm sitting there drinking coffee, getting ready to go play golf, and I got a phone call, and I've got caller ID, and it said Marquette Catholic, and I said...
How'd they find out about you?
Well...
How'd they know you were thinking about that?
Well, they weren't. They were worried that I wasn't going to think about it, but I had hired a teacher named Bob Baird from Alton, and he had gone to Marquette. In fact, he played football there and played a little bit of football in college. And he was my first hire that down at St. John Newman.
Okay.
And he was down here 5 years, and he was a great teacher, and did a great job. And then in the meantime, he had gotten married. He became a principal over at a Catholic school in Richmond Heights for 3 years, two years, 3 years, I don't know. And then he went back to his alma mater, Marquette, to become the assistant principal. So when the athletic director, he told me this story, he said when the athletic director had resigned, he and the principal, Mike Slaughter, had been sitting there all day trying to think, who are we going to get? Somebody, school started, you know, and they came up with 3 or 4 names, and then all of a sudden, about middle of the afternoon, Bob walks across, and he goes, hey, Jack Holmes just retired. And Mike Slaughter said, call him.
And you...
Well, actually, Mike called me.
Yeah, but you...
And I went down.
Did you hesitate about it?
He said, I know you probably, he was trying to apologize because he said, I know you just retired. And then he finally said, well, at least come talk to us. And I said, yeah, I'll come talk to you. You know, and I knew in my heart that might be pretty cool.
Yes.
And so.
Did that for 5 years and then I retired from that.
Yeah.
And then what?
Well, I'm sitting here in my fourth year of being fully retired.
Fully retired, playing golf every day?
Well, I can't play every day, but I play 3 times a week, you know, like that. And
and you also are pretty active at St. Francis still?
Oh, very active, yeah.
What do you do for them?
I'm an extraordinary minister. I'm a lector. I do communion services. I'm a heavenly duster. Clean the church with my wife and her gang.
Okay.
You know, when our turn comes
duster.
Up.
I like that.
Heavenly duster. And, you know, anything they ask. And I'm on the cemetery board. I like that.
Yeah.
I really do, yeah.
And then you're also active with the local Republican group?
In fact, I just attended, I think it was just a week ago, the Illinois Republican Convention that was held in Collinsville.
Oh.
You know, usually it's in Springfield or Peoria or Rockford, but it was in Collinsville this year, and so we had a group of 6 of us go down, and, you know, we got to see what the new plank is, you know, and everything. It was really exciting.
Yeah, that is great.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've covered a lot of territory, but we got to wrap this up. Any last words of wisdom? Words of wisdom, Jack. What do you got?
Words of wisdom. Oh, golly. Let me just say a couple things here.
Yeah, tell me a couple.
Okay.
Things.
People ask me what was the highlight of 30 years at Illini Middle School, and I said the time I hired the Backstreet Boys to perform a concert there for $100.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No way.
True story.
Heck did that happen? I don't know if we got time for that one,
okay.
But you did do it. Mark that down.
Yeah. When we got married, my wife came out before we got married, so she was going to look for a job, you know, like between the time I proposed in January and we got married in June. And while she was out there, we went on to the USS Prairie, a big destroyer tender, and went down about 3 decks and to the jewelry store and bought our wedding rings.
Oh,
on that USS Prairie. She said, make sure you mention that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then when I went to graduate school, I went to George Washington University in Washington, D.C. I had a fellowship, so I taught all year there. And I was also there during the May Day riots of 1970. It was probably the largest. If you've seen the riots in the last few years, this was a major riot. The people against the Vietnam War.
Oh.
And in fact, the Marine Corps landed, helicopters landed at the Washington Monument, and they arrested 10,000 people that day. And I'd say probably 9,000 of them were from my campus.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and they took them out to RFK Stadium and corralled them, you know, overnight.
Like there was a lot of turmoil back then.
Oh, it was. And they were going to try to shut down the government, you know, all the bridges that go into, you know, across the Potomac River there. And so I was there during that. That was quite a highlight. And then after they finally cleaned that up, there was a peaceful march on Washington of the Vietnam veterans against the war. And they came to Washington and then peacefully, and then none of them got arrested. But those were just little things in my life that happened.
Yes, back to the Backstreet Boys. Now, how in the heck did you get a hold of
that? Well, we had a magazine sale. And we always made a lot of discretionary money for our school so you could buy, you know, things for the kids that, you know, you couldn't afford otherwise. And so we had done such a good job that year that my magazine guy said, I can get the Backstreet Boys. They're a new group. Nobody's ever heard of them. And I can get them for about 4 schools. Would you like them? It's only $100. And I said, heck yeah. And they came to our school and they stood up on that stage and they had the kids going. And when they were done, they asked me if I wanted to go out and sit in their tour bus and visit with them a little bit, and I went out there and visited with them, and then within just a few months, they were major. I mean, big time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, it's been a pleasure having you today.
Thanks.
And looking forward to seeing you around, so take care.
Well, I'll see you around.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chris.
You're welcome. Take care.